Wow. It is so good to be here today. You know, my wife and I are very humbled and excited for what the Lord has before us. You know, when the Lord speaks, you answer. When the Lord says go, you go. And when Pastor Wayne asked us, you know, we've never been to Farington before until last weekend when I was at the pastor's practicum. And it was exciting. When the Lord says go, you don't need to see. Just listen to my voice. And as I tell you to go, you just answer, yes, Lord, here I am. Send me. And so we are so excited for what the Lord has before all of us here. Now, I got greeted yesterday and someone said, welcome home. Oh, that felt good. That felt good because we are home. And my wife and I are so excited. She's here with me this week. We have three beautiful girls back at home that are eager to see us again. They want us to come home and then they want to come over here together. And so we are looking forward to coming here as a family. You know, my little girls, I got three girls, 14, 10, and 6, and my wife. So I always say I have four girls, okay? I'm totally girled out, totally, okay? I have a dog that's a girly dog. It's called a lap dog, a Yorkie poo. Come on. I've lost all my manhood. I don't know what else to do, okay? I've learned how to French braid hair better than anybody, okay? I know how to paint fingernails and toenails better than anybody. I can keep up with any mama in this room. Well, maybe not. Okay, all you moms are good. And so I do those for my girls. My girls wake up in the morning, they say, Daddy, can you French braid my hair? What dad hears that request from their children? Me, okay? And so I love doing that with my girls. Who here has kids? Raise your hands. I want to see all the parents out there. You know, every day I get the blessing of being a dad to three beautiful girls. And my girls say the funniest things. I wish I had a camera going on them all the time just to record what they say. I'd probably make a lot of money on America's Funniest Home Videos. And they say funny things. They do funny things. And one day I was driving my middle daughter, Elise, back home from gymnastics practice. And she's in the front row with me. And I'm all, Elise, I'm jealous. I want more time with you. I just want to have time to hang out with you and just play and have daddy-daughter time. And with a straight face, she looked at me. She goes, well, Dad, let me look at my calendar and see what we can do. Did you just say what I thought you just said, you little twerp? You don't look at your calendar. And then she gives me this big old smile, and she starts laughing at me. And I'm like, oh, man, a daughter after daddy's own heart. She's taking after me. But my youngest daughter, Grace, she's 6 years old, and she's a cutie pie. And you just want to eat her up. She just has that face you just want to hold and kiss and hug. And she comes up to me one day. She goes, Daddy, I got a secret. I'm all, secrets. All right, I like a secret. Not gossip, secret. All right, she goes, Dad, I got a big secret. All right, tell me your secret. No, Dad, this is a big secret. I said, all right, share me the secret. She goes, come here. So I bent down, and she walks up to my ear, and she goes, Daddy, I love you. Oh. Okay, you have all the inheritance. Your sisters get nothing. You got it all, okay? You have my heart. You got it all. And so when she said that to me, my heart just leapt out of my chest. I was like, oh, man, you are such a special little girl. And she shared a secret with me that was from her heart that I wanted to hear. I loved it. I love it when my kids tell me I love you. Or my oldest daughter will text me and say, Dad, I love you. You're the best dad in the world. I love hearing those things. But I love hearing a secret so that I can understand and know. Now, I love that we're in the know and in our parts of our lives, but God wants us to be in the know of how to be great in this world and how to be successful. See, there's secrets behind this, and I want to look at the life of David. Pastor Wayne's been talking about David these last few weeks, and I want to jump on that and talk about King David and the secrets to his success and his greatness in this world. You know, it all depends on when you ask somebody, well, what's the secrets of greatness? Well, if you ask Hollywood, guess what they're going to tell you? They're going to tell you your looks, how pretty you are, how good looking you are, how good of shape you're in. That's the success in Hollywood. If you ask Washington, D.C., they're going to tell you it's who you know. Who do you know will build success in your life? If you talk to Wall Street, they're going to talk about it's your wealth, your influence with your wealth. And if you talk to somebody in the NFL, they're going to say size, strength, an athletic ability. That's the secrets to success in that sport. Well, I don't really care what those other people think. I want to know what God thinks. What is the secret to greatness in this world? And I want to look at David. I'd like for you to turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. This is a scripture that will help us understand something of what how God's heart is. Now, this is the story of when Samuel is going to go and anoint David, or anoint the new king. But he goes to Jesse's sons, and he starts looking at all the sons, and God says, nope, 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 nope. And then he goes, well, is there another son? He goes, yeah, Jesse's all, yeah, David, who's checking out and working with the sheep over there. Well, bring him here. And God anointed him king. And I love what David said, because Samuel was looking for something of a kingly figure. And God has something different in plan. You know, David was around 14 years old. He was a young boy, a young man. And God used this young man to change a nation. But I want to see what it says here in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. Let's discover God's heart on what greatness is. It says this, the Lord does not look at the things that man looks at, beauty, connections, wealth, strength, those things I labeled out there. It says, man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the what? Heart. At the what?
Heart.
See, God looks at your heart. You need to understand something here today. And you can circle that word heart, because that's the key to what we're talking about today. God says that greatness is determined by character, which comes from the heart. The heart of the matter here is the matter of the heart. How is your heart doing? You know, when I was in college, I was able and had the privilege of running track and field. I went on a scholarship to a Division I college, and I was a sprinter, ran the 100, the 200, and 400. And my coach was a godly man. He loved the Lord, but he was brutal, mean, and he loved to drive us in the ground. We would train 8 hours, up to 8 hours a day. It's 2 hours in the morning, and then we'd have about 6 to 8 hours in the afternoon, or 6 hours in the afternoon. And he would drive us to the point where he would actually place trash cans around the track, so when you finish your workout, it would drive you to a point where you would vomit, and you would just throw up in the trash cans. And he felt, that's a good workout. If I got you to throw up, that's a good workout. Oh, boy, I love him. And I can't believe we did this for years. Well, after I graduated from high school, from college, I got pneumonia, and I got really sick. I had to go to the doctor, and the doctor's doing an evaluation of my body. And he goes, wow, I want to look at your heart. He started looking at my heart. And he says, what have you been doing these past few years? I said, well, and I told him what I've been doing. He goes, you know what, your outward appearance, your body and your muscles, it's a good, but your heart's not. You've damaged your heart by what you've done. I thought, wow, all that working out, all that training, I thought my whole body would be in shape, but there was something wrong with my heart, my internal being. And it made me question in my life, how is my spiritual heart? How is my heart inside? You know, my outward appearance, and so many of us, even in this room, we can put on a facade, a look about ourselves that makes us look really good. We drive a nice car, our house is great, our life is great, but our heart is dark. And God says, I'm looking at your heart to see if you're successful or not. I'm looking at your heart to see if you're going to be great or not. And we look at David's life. David was a great man of God. And you think about it, he was a king, he was a shepherd, he was a general. He wrote the most beloved book in the Bible called Psalms. He united kingdoms, he was a giant killer, he defeated Goliath, really the start of his leadership in Israel. And he had an incredible lineup of achievements, he had all these plaques and trophies all over the wall. This man was incredible. You know what, but God wasn't interested in what he did. He was interested in his heart. What was his heart like? What impressed God the most was what was inside. You know, I want to look at Acts. Acts chapter 13, verse 22. It defines how God saw David. It said, David was a man after my own heart. Wow. Now, are you a person after God's own heart? Maybe there's a better question I can ask you today. Do you want to be a man or a woman after God's own heart? If you want to be, then I have some secrets for you. I have some secrets that you need to apply to your life to become a man or a woman after God's own heart. So grab your teaching notes. I got some fill-ins there so you can actually write down the fill-ins so that you can walk out of this room today. Because I believe that as you walk out, God wants you to be different than when you came in. See, God wants to take you from glory to glory, the Bible says. So when you came to service today, it wasn't just to check off the list. It was to encounter the God of the universe, to have this relationship so that, one, you worship him and he pours out his spirit in you so that you become more and more like Jesus. Can I hear an amen on that? All right, that's his plan for you today. And so I want to look at these secrets. Well, you might, James, how do you know? How do you know a person's heart? Well, I have four things I want to look at today. How you handle sin, how you handle stress, how you handle service, and how you handle success will determine what your heart is like. So I want to look at David's life and how he handled these four things. And then I want to apply it to our own life today. Number one is this. David's response to sin was a repentant heart. He repented for his sin all the time. You know, David had a tender, sensitive heart. He was sensitive to the Lord. When David blew it, he admitted it, he didn't hide it, and he didn't deny it. He confessed it. He didn't give excuses, and he didn't try to justify it. He just said, "You're right, I blew it." You know, there are times in life where it's hard to say, "I'm wrong, you're right." See, I know that all you married couples, you're perfect and I'm not. My wife and I, we're flawed in this. We were driving around yesterday and we're trying to find different schools, looking around. Has anybody realized here you have a lot of traffic? Does anybody know that here? Okay. I'm telling you, especially when you don't know the streets and you're like, "Oh, where are we going?" And then your GPS says there's an off-ramp and there's no off-ramp there. And then you got to go another 2 miles, another mile, like, "Oh my goodness, we're on the North Shore." Nah, we weren't on the North Shore. And we were just getting frustrated. And the tension started to grow in our car yesterday. And all of a sudden, we started to turn on each other. And we started to say, "I cannot believe you're not following the blue dot, following on the GPS." And we started saying, "Does anybody know what I'm talking about?" "No, you're perfect. You're perfect. Come on." All right, and we started to get tense. And all of a sudden, the Lord stopped us. And we had to ask for forgiveness and say, "I'm wrong. I'm sorry for the words I've said," or even the actions or even my reaction to you. See, it's not easy to say that. But David was a man after God's own heart, and he was a man who repented. He knew how to repent. It says here in Psalm chapter 51, verse 1 through 3. Think about the scripture here. I want you to just let me read it to you. It says, "O loving and kind God, have mercy. Have pity upon me and take away the awful stains of my sin. Wash me, cleanse me from this guilt. Let me be pure again, for I admit my shameful deeds." You know, this is David's prayer after he had committed adultery. This is a point where he came to the Lord broken, saying, "God, forgive me. I have wronged you, and I am wrong today." I'm amazed by how the Bible tells the truth all the time. I don't know about you, but I love reading the Word of God. Because the Word of God is so, descriptive. And as you look at the Word of God, it talks about murder and rape. It talks about incest and problems. It did with David's life. And it looks at how describing David's life, it was just complete it, with every detail. It reminds me of George Washington. When he had his first portrait painted, he told the artist, "I want you to paint everything, warts and all. I want you to show everything that I am." See, David's life, when we see the Word of God, we see everything that he was. The good, the bad, and the ugly. You know why that's encouraging to me? Because it makes him human. And it makes it so that we can relate to him. You know, he's this big figure in the Bible. Oh, King David. Oh my goodness, this is where, if you look at the line where Jesus came from. Oh, this is King David. But he's just like you and he's just like me. He was great at sinning, but he was great at repenting. He committed the worst sins, adultery, murder, he's a liar. But then he came back to the Lord with a repentant heart. As we see this, I am just blown away to see a man who first responds with a heart of repentance. God's called us to live that way. You know, some of you have walked in this room today, and I don't know where you're at in life, but I can only assume is that you're carrying bags right now, maybe bags of sin that's been weighing you down, and you've been carrying them with you wherever you go. And God says, let him go. Just confess that you have those bags in your hand and don't act like you don't. Put it down, ask for forgiveness, and move on. See, some of you are being held back by your sin in your life. And God says, let it go and move in that freedom. Just repent. Repent and confess of that sin and move forward. The greatest thing about God, he forgives you when you ask. He forgives you when you repent so that you can walk in that freedom. See, David knew this. See, that's why David was one of the greatest leaders of all time, because he understood God's heart. He was able to ask for forgiveness and walk in that forgiveness. Psalms 51:17 says this, God will not reject a repentant heart. So when you repent, he doesn't push you away, he pulls you in closer. Isn't that great? He doesn't push you away, he says, come to me, my son. Come to me, my daughter. Come be with me. See, some of you have felt like you're so distant from God, but you're carrying baggage that God says, I can't have anything to do with that baggage. Drop it and then walk to me. But some of us are trying to get to God with all this baggage in our life and say, I want this sin in my life. I won't confess it. And you just kind of keep bumping against a wall. And God says, drop it, repent, and move forward. Walk in that freedom, church. Wherever you're at today, walk in that freedom. Let David be an example of what he did with sin. He repented of that sin. David believed in forgiving God. He focused more on God's forgiveness than he did his own failure. That's why he was defined as a man after God's own heart. You know, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor, or do yourself a favor today. I'm going to ask you to take a little test. You know, in high school, I didn't like taking tests. I would have to study really hard. My wife had a photographic memory. I had to put the work in, and I studied and studied. So did she, but not as much. And so I understand when it came to tests, I kind of sweat a little bit and thinking, all right, I got a good grade on this. I have to get a good grade. But I want you to take a test today. On each point, I want you to evaluate yourself. From 0 to 10, I want you to put a number next to that number of 1, 2, 3, or 4. I got 4 points. And I want you to write, if you work your life and you live your life with a repentant heart, then I want you to say, I'm a 10 in this area. I do this all the time. If you're not, and you're saying, hey, I haven't done this at all, then I want you to put a 0. I want you to evaluate, because if you don't evaluate your heart, how will you ever grow? If you don't know where your heart is, how do you know how you can grow and become better at who you are? God wants you to evaluate your heart on a daily basis. Amen? And so today, write that down. If you're really a repentant person, hey, write a 10. If not, a 0 or in between. The second secret about David I love about him is how he dealt with stress. Who here, you've dealt with stress in the last 30 days? Raise your hand. Okay, 30 days. All right? It's a lot of hands. We've had to deal with stress. But when it came to stress, he was and had a trusting heart. A trusting heart. You know, one of my favorite scriptures in the Word of God is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He'll make your path straight. Trust in the Lord. So David understood about trusting. When you look at Psalms 118, verse 5 through 6, it says, in my distress, I prayed to the Lord. He answered me and rescued me. He is for me. How can I be afraid? You know, some of you have walked in this room today. See, the greatest thing about this room, everybody has their own story. You have your own story here today, and you came in with your own story. And some of you have walked in with fear that's gripping your life right now. You don't know how you're going to pay your bills tomorrow. You don't know how you're going to pay your rent or your mortgage. You don't know how you're going to bring food into your house. You don't know if your job's going to be there, if your marriage is going to last, if your kids are going to make it. And you're fearful, and you are in a place where you're just, the stress is eating you alive from the inside out. And the Lord says, trust me on this. Trust me. See, we try to trust the economy. We try to trust our checking account. We try to trust our bosses and our employers. And the Lord says, trust me. Put your focus on me, and I will carry you through. I will be your caretaker. I will be your provider instead of people. See, this is where the Lord wants all of us, church, all of us to be in a place where we trust Him. Amen? See, David understood stress. He was in constant war, fighting giants, being chased by Saul, hiding in caves. His family was
completely dysfunctional. You had one son sleeping with one daughter, you know, and raping her. And then all of a sudden you have one son killing another son trying to take the throne, took the throne, then was killed. It's a mess. Just a complete mess. So David understood stress, but this is what he says, and this is what his thoughts are. David said, I'll pray, I'll trust, and I'll keep moving forward. Here's what my words of encouragement to you today after the life of David. Keep on praying. Don't stop praying. Keep on trusting, and then keep on moving forward. Keep on moving forward. Some of you today, you're moving forward is literally a baby step. Just like, what about Bob? I'm going to take one baby step at a time. One baby step at a time. Because that is better than taking one baby step behind and going backwards. God says, keep moving forward. I will give you the power and authority to keep moving forward. In spite of your circumstance, I will give you what you need. Amen? This is what the Lord has for you. He's our rock, our shield, our fortress. I want all of us to read this scripture from Psalms, chapter 73, verse 26. Let's read this together. Ready? My mind and my body may grow weak, but God is my strength. He is all I ever need. Really? See, we just read that out loud. We just spoke truth out in our lives. We just spoke the word of God out. So here's what we have to do. Not just believe it, know it in our minds. We got to believe it in our hearts. If God is all I really need, then we got to live that way. We have to live in a way of, Lord, you're all that I need. I will move forward. It reminds me of when David went to the battle line, when the Israelites were up in the mountain, and all of a sudden they're afraid to fight this Goliath, this giant down the valley. This giant who's mocking God. David shows up to bring food to his brothers and to get a report to go back to his dad. And all of a sudden they're fearful up on the mountains, and David's like, what are you guys so afraid of? It's that giant down there. He's a bully. I don't like him. And David saw what he's just, and they're like, he's too big. He's too big to hit. He'll hit us back. And David's response is, he's too big not to hit. Come on, let's go take this guy down. See, a lot of us in our world today, we have giants. We have Goliaths in our lives. And our thoughts, this is too big. I don't know how God's going to do that one. And we actually question if God can do it or not. Don't question if God can do it or not. With God, there's nothing impossible. You know, Philippians 4:13 says this. It's a great scripture that you need to know. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you know that scripture, say it with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, here's the deal. If you want to live a successful life, if you want to live a life that's honoring to God, understand who gives you the power and strength to do this. That's Jesus. And he wants to empower you today. He wants you to live a successful life here on earth. But we need to live in a way, knowing the truth, that God is all I need. God is my strength. He is my fortress. You know, I look at David's life, and he went through a deep time of depression in his life. All these things and the stresses of his life just started to eat away at him. And even in those times of stress, he wrote some of the greatest Psalms. But I know that some of you here today, no, I don't know you, and don't know you. I haven't been reading your email, but I know you're dealing with depression right now. You're dealing with a dark place in your life, and you're thinking, how am I going to get out of this? I wake up in the morning just barely getting out of bed. Just getting here to church today was a chore. And you're dealing with this depression. You're not the same person you used to be because the stresses of life have just eaten you alive. And this is where the Lord wants to do a special work in you today. He wants to bring new life into you as we trust in him. When I was in high school, I took a photography class. I'm not a great photographer, but I took a class because it was required. And it was back in the days when you had film, not the digital film, but it was film. It was a regular film. And you would take the film as you took the picture, and you would go into a dark room. And in this dark room, you would put that film into acid, and you get it developed, and then it turned out to be a picture. See, some of you are in a dark place right now in your life. And you feel the acid of this world is eating you alive, one piece at a time. And God's allowing that to take place. He's not punishing you, but he allows things like this to develop our character. Because he says this, I'm going to develop a beautiful picture or a masterpiece out of your life if you trust in me. So every day, no matter where, what your circumstances, no matter where you're at, we're called to trust in the Lord. Amen? Turn to somebody next to you and say this, trust in the Lord. Go ahead and tell them that. Trust in the Lord. Well, score yourself on that. How well do you trust the Lord? When your bank account starts to go down, do you call mom and dad first, or do you get on your knees and pray first? When things are happening that are negative, that you turn to the Lord, or do you turn to yourself? You turn to something to drink? Who do you trust in? Write a number down. See how well you're doing so that you know where you need to go from this point on. I look at the third thing that we need to see from David's life. We talk about service. David was a servant. David's response to servant was a servant's heart. He knew how to serve. His desire was always, I want to do God's will more than anything else in life. He was willing to do whatever God called him to do. Let's read what Acts chapter 13, verse 22 says about David. Let's read it out loud. Ready? David does everything I ask him to do. See, it's easy sometimes for any preacher across the nation, around the world, to get on a platform, and when thousands of people are looking at him, he tells you what you want to hear. Not always what you need to hear. See, I'm going to tell you right now, I haven't always done what God's told me to do. And I have times when the Lord challenges me and he says, I want you to do, I don't want to do that, God. Nope. I want you to call that person. Nope. The Raiders are on right now, God. That's more important right now. I want you to go minister. Nope, God. I preached all day. I am done. And God says, I want you to go and take your kid. My kids are okay. I'm done. And see, God calls us to do things. And we're hesitant. I know I am. And the Lord has been grooming me and taking care and developing me in my life so that I become a person that he can say, you're a man after my own heart. When I ask you to do something, you do it. You don't question it. You just do it. And the Lord has been developing me in that in me for years and really maturing me in that. But not all the time do I do it. When I was a senior in high school, there was a time where a guy on my campus, his name is Alan. Alan had special needs, and he was mentally challenged and even a little physically too. And one day on campus, I looked at Alan and I felt the Lord say to my heart, I want you to go say hi to Alan. God, no way. I have my friends, my image that I'm trying to keep. I am not going to go say hi to Alan. And God says, okay, we'll play this game. So a week goes by. He asked me again, put it on my heart, go say hi to Alan. No, wait, nuh-uh, I'm not going to do it. Nuh-uh, I'm not going to do it. Third week goes by, again, I'm defiant, and I say no to God. I'm not going to go say hi to Alan. Not going to do it. Fourth week goes by, my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, she says to me, hey, why don't you go and invite that guy, Alan? Why don't you bring him on over? This is a good guy. All right. Isn't it amazing how your girlfriend has more influence than God does sometimes, for crying out loud? Or maybe God's just smarter than me, and he went to my girlfriend and then said, and come to me. So I walked across. I remember walking across the quad, and I remember there's 2,500 students there, and I'm walking across to go see Alan. I get close to him, and I walk up, and I say, hey, Alan, how you doing? And he goes like this, hi, James. And I thought, well, number one, that's a little creepy that you know my name, okay? And hi. And he goes, and he just gets all fidgety, good to see you. I said, well, it's good to see you, too. I said, hey, why don't you come join us and sit over here across the quad and sit with us? All right. And he looked at me. So he starts to gather all his stuff, his backpack and all his things. And he looks like this, walking with me. And I'm trying to strut across, you know, I got my walk. And I'm trying to be cool. And I get to all my friends. And Alan sits down. And his eyes are like this, boing, because he's so excited to be accepted in a group of people. No one accepted him. And he sat there with his smile from ear to ear. You know, the greatest thing about that day, I call it great, but it was a challenge. Alan walked me to my class every day. After that lunch, he would walk me to my fifth period, economics. And he went to my door and he would do this, bye, James. And then he would run to his class. And then he would be tardy to his next class. And as the bell rang, he would run back to my class, hi, James. And then he would walk me to my next class every day. And then 3 weeks went by.
And this is the crazy thing. My counselor, who is now my mother-in-law, she calls me in, and I am like deathly afraid. Oh, God, what did I do? Have you ever been called into the principal's office, and you think, what did I do wrong? And especially, I'm dating her daughter. Oh, Lord, help me. I remember walking in, and my legs are shaking. I sit down. I'm like, hi, Mrs. Oliva. How can I help you? And she goes, do you know Alan? I said, yeah. She goes, he's been tardy every single period for the last 3 weeks. I said, how is that my fault? And she goes, you know what? We want you to encourage him to get to class on time. But you know what? It's changed his life. Can I just tell you right now? Today, I'm still in relationship with Alan. We email on Facebook. We connect with each other. Alan follows Jesus, loves the Lord. Alan, 2 years ago, finally graduated from college. He works at a grocery store and he even told me, I work out now. Can I just tell you today, I had a small part in Alan's life, but if I didn't go and say hi to him, what would have happened? See, God was using me to influence a young man's life. See, God wants to use you to impact someone else's life. What Allens do you have in your life? What family members are an Allen to you? What neighbors are an Allen to you? What coworkers are an Allen to you that God's saying, I want you to go reach out to them. Just go say hi. Just go love them. Be the most loving person in their life. Just go love the Allens of this world. They want to be loved. And they need Jesus. I say this to people all the time. You might be the only Jesus that someone meets today. Huh. If we live our lives with that heart, live our lives with that passion and that commitment, we'll change the world. We'll change the world with the love of Jesus. But we have to be obedient. When God says to go and serve, you go. Amen? Turn to somebody next to you with love and conviction. Say, let's go. No, not. Don't leave. No. All right. We're called to go. You know, as we look at this and David's life, I see some characteristics of his servant's heart. Number one, I see this. He served wholeheartedly. He didn't give halfway. It says in Psalms 119:10, it says, with all my heart, I try to serve you. With all my heart. See, that's a conviction in my own heart, because there's sometimes I'm just tired. Has anybody ever been tired before? And it's like, I don't want to do that, God. I don't want to go to church today. I don't even want to worship right now. I just want to watch. And God says, worship me with all your heart. Let's serve with all of our lives and everything we are. This is what God's called us to be and do in this world. The second thing I see about David's life and his servanthood is that he was focused. David was focused in what he was doing. It was like a laser, not a flashlight. He was focused on what he was doing. I want you to read a scripture with me that defines this about David's life. In Psalms 119, verse 38. Let's read out loud. Ready? Keep me from paying attention to what is worthless. See, some of us need to put that scripture right on your TV, you know, and have that so that's a reminder. When you're just doing this and you're just going brain dead, does anybody ever do brain dead TV like I do sometimes? Like, all right, And it's worthless time, worthless. And the Lord says, I want you to guard your heart to this. I want you to be a servant, not just be distracted of the things of this world. He says, keep me from paying attention to what is worthless. You know, and I say this all the time, but some things are not necessarily wrong. They're just not necessary. Some of us try to fill our time with unnecessary things. We just don't need to do them. It doesn't mean they're wrong. We just shouldn't be doing it. It's just a waste of time. And I always say this to people too. You know, the good in your life is the enemy to the best that God has for you. We settle for good things, and we don't stay focused on the best thing. You know, a dear friend of mine, she's an author. She said to me one time, James, don't settle for the bronze when God has the gold for you. Ooh, that gripped my heart. I've never heard an Olympic athlete, when they're going to Olympics, say this, I am so excited for the bronze. I am so excited. I just want the bronze, man. I just want the bronze. Have you ever heard an Olympic athlete say that? No. They want the gold. So why is we as Christians
have a different heart and mindset where we say, bronze will be okay. I'll settle. When God says, no, don't settle. Go for the gold. Stay focused. Here at this church at New Hope, our family, I look at the Levites. Wow. The Levites ministry is an amazing ministry where they serve with an unconditional heart. They just serve where it needs to be served, service needs. They set up those tents. They come. They clean up. They do everything. May I say, that is an example for all of us in the way we should serve. Focus wholeheartedly. You know, I want to encourage you, some of you here today, you're riding this fence right now as a Christian. You come to service, it feels good, and you walk home, it's like, ooh, that felt good. And where the Lord says, I want you to do something different. I want you to go and I want you to serve. I want to make your life about somebody else. See, Jesus said this very clearly. He goes, I didn't come to be served. I came to what? To serve. And if we really want to be followers of Christ, then we need to be following the example of Christ and then living out the example of Christ, that we're called to serve. I want to encourage you, if you're here today and you're not serving, take that next step. Step out in faith and say, I want to go. I want to start serving. I want to give my life away. I want to make a difference in this world. When my life is all said and done, I want other lives impacted because I was a servant and served other people. You know, we can't live with the heart of a consumer, but we got to be a person who invests our lives every single day. Amen? This is what the Lord has for us. And the third characteristic of his servant's heart is that he was sacrificial. David was willing to invest his time and his money. Yes, his time and his money. 2 Samuel 24:24 says this, I will not offer to the Lord sacrifices that have cost me nothing. That's a big statement. Because I have to ask you the question today, if you're a Christian and a follower of Christ, what is it costing you? What is it costing you? Is it costing you anything? See, being a follower of Jesus, it has to cost us everything. Our pride, our insecurity, everything, it's going to cost you. Even to the point where I will give everything into the kingdom of God. See, this is where the Lord wants us to step out in faith. David was offered by a man. When it came to time to build the temple, the man came in and says, I will give you the resources, the land, everything you need. I will even help build it. And David says, no, because if it doesn't cost me, I don't want to do it. I want to give God my best. I want to give God my best. This is what the Lord is calling us as a church to step out to give our best. Amen? This is what the Lord is requiring out of us today. Turn to somebody next to you and say, let's give our best. Let's give our best. This is what the Lord has for us today. Well, evaluate yourself as a servant. Are you serving? If so, great. Give yourself a higher number. If you're not, give yourself a lower number. But at least gives you a benchmark where to go from. And we're called to grow in our relationship with Christ. Well, I want to look at the fourth and last thing that I have for you today. And I wanted to talk to you about success. Because God wants you to be successful in this world. But David's response to success was a humble heart. A humble heart. God wants you to be successful. It says in 1 Samuel 18:14, it says, in everything David did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. Circle the word everything. The Lord wants you to be successful in everything you do. From your marriage, to your kids, to your work, to everything. He wants you to be a success. He doesn't want you to be a failure. And he doesn't even want you to settle for the bronze. He wants you to be a success in this world. Well, how do you handle praise? You know, I heard one person say this. You know, humans are amazing. Once you pat them on the back, their head swells. Does our heads swell when people praise us or say, good job? Or do we say, no, thank you, Lord, for what he's done. The Lord has done a great work in my life. He has changed me and transformed me. He has done something special in me. I look at celebrities all the time. They start off as a nobody. They get a little bit of success, and they become obnoxious. And so we see this. Are we just like that? Remember, we're called to represent Jesus Christ. He's changed us from the inside out. You know, David's attitude is like this in Psalms 115, verse 1. It says, "To you alone, O Lord, to you alone, and not unto us, must glory be given." He also says in Psalm 75, 6, it says, "For promotion and power come from nowhere on earth, but only from God. He promotes one, and he deposes the another. God will build up those who are humble. He wants to pour out his blessings on those who are committed to him." You know, my challenge for you today is this, is that your heart would be sensitive to God. See, God wants to pour out his blessings on you, but he wants to know, is your heart ready to receive it? See, my first point was that David, how he dealt with sin, he was a repentant follower of God. When he knew he blew it, he admitted it. See, some of us in this room today, you've blown it. Actually, we've all blown it. If you sin in your life, I want you to raise your hand. Come on, be honest. Look around this room. We're all sinners. It's a room full of sinners in here. But God has saved us through his grace, through his Son. If you're here right now, and you know you've walked through life and you have not had a relationship with Jesus Christ, he wants a relationship with you. He wants you to be a success. He wants to pour into your life and partner with you. Ecclesiastes talks about two are better than one. God wants to partner with you and so that you can be a success in this world. But you're called to repent and open your heart to him and allow him into your life. We're not called to live independent and alone from God. We're called to live with him. He wants to empower you with his Holy Spirit, but you're called to open your heart. I don't care what you've done. There is no sin that's too great for God to forgive. From a murderer to a liar, it's all the same to God. As long as we come to him and say, "Lord, forgive me of my sin." If you want a successful life, start off by opening your heart to Jesus Christ. Confess that you have sinned. Believe that he died on the cross for you, that his blood was shed for you so that you can live a life of freedom. And then choose today to declare him your Lord and Savior. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, we are so thankful for this day. And Lord, I pray for each person right now in this room. I just speak your blessing over them. Lord, as they have come here, Lord, to be a part of the body of Christ. They have come here to just experience you. Lord, I just pray that all of us would submit our hearts to you right now. With your eyes closed, right where you're at, church, would you just really take a moment to do business with God? I know in the past services, many people have come to that place of discovering that relationship with Jesus Christ. I want you to experience that same relationship. If you're here today and you're realizing, you know what, my life, I've settled for the bronze. And I don't want to settle for the bronze anymore. I want the gold. And that gold is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you've never given your heart to Christ, you've come to church, you've even participated in different activities, but you've never confessed with your mouth that I'm a sinner. You never confessed with your mouth that Jesus died on the cross for you, that his blood was shed for you, and you never asked him to forgive you of your sin and come into your life. You've never done it. And today's your moment. Today's your opportunity. God wants you to step out in faith. He wants to meet you so that he can live the rest of your life together for eternity. If you want that relationship with Jesus Christ, you want that forgiveness that only comes through Jesus Christ, and you want to walk in partnership and relationship with Jesus, then open your hearts. Make a decision. Be bold. Don't let anybody hold you back. Make a decision that's for you today. If you want that relationship with Jesus Christ, and you want to open your heart to him, and you want that now, I want you, with boldness in your heart, just to raise your hand and say, "James, I want that relationship with Jesus Christ right now." Just raise your hand where you're at, and I want to agree with you. Yes, yes, I agree with you. Yes, your hand up there. I agree with you. All your hands back there. Yes. Who else? I agree with you today. That today's the day
I agree with you. Who else here? I agree with you. Yes. Yeah, I agree with you. Praise the Lord. Who else? I can't see any hands, but I know there's hands in the back. I see your hand back there. Yes. Who else here wants that relationship with Jesus Christ? Yes. And you want the forgiveness of your sin. Yes. I agree with you and you. Yes, you and you. Yes. I agree with you in Jesus' name. Now, everybody else in this room, if you've done that and you've asked Jesus to come in your heart, but you've walked away, and you want to be like David, a man or a woman after God's own heart, but you need to come back to Christ. You've given your life to Jesus, but you kind of wandered away, and today you're saying, I got to get back with Christ. I got to get back in relationship with Jesus. Make a decision. Make a decision in your mind and in your heart and say, yes, I need to come back to Jesus today. And if that's you and you need to recommit your life to Christ right now, just raise your hand and say, I need to make that decision right now. Just raise your hand. Yes, I agree with you. I agree with you. Would everybody just lift their hands in the air? Just lift your hands right now. I'd like for you to repeat this prayer after me. Let's say it together as a family. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for me, to forgive me of my sins. I receive that today, and I accept Jesus into my heart, and I choose today to follow Him with all of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you applaud the Lord today for the greatness of who He is? Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I want to encourage you, if you raised your hand to give your life to Christ, there are incredible servants out here. They're going to be holding a booklet. It's the Yes Packet. Don't leave without taking that. That's your next step. We're not going to take you into a room and do things to you. We just want you to get that packet to go to the next step. Be bold and go for it. Thank you so much, and we are so happy to be part of New Hope Family.